Lake Michigan water levels broke a monthly record high for the first time in more than 30 years. We're talking about what this means on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, though, let's check in on our winter member drive at WPR. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that is why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so critical.
And I have some great news, two pieces of good news. The first one is last hour we heard from 17
wow.
new and returning members.
Nice.
Thank you so much for those gifts. Now, if you're thinking, oh, I wanted to make a donation last hour, I didn't get in on it. Well, good news for you is that right now we have a really special opportunity. When you make a gift of any amount, current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Kurt and Sue Culver, will donate an additional $100 to your gift.
That is so fabulous. Amp it up right now. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So increase the impact of your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio even mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
And so while we do appreciate business contributions, we do appreciate federal and state tax dollars, it is listener support that is the largest chunk of funding for WPR programs. And that's why your contribution of any amount right now really matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So if you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported, well, now you know we are. The largest source of funding comes from you. The funding for a WPR program comes directly from listeners.
Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. That's good. You're still listening, right? So now is the perfect time to support the programming that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, absolutely makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Love it, love it. Travel, travel. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan this morning. It is your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You pick the amount. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We know you're busy. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the whole world. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, we've got this great opportunity. WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Absolutely. Leverage your gift right now with that additional $100 boost that we have. And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, you'll have five chances to win that $500 travel agency gift card. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. And Sustainer is making ongoing monthly gifts. We love you, we need you, and you're automatically entered.
There's so many great reasons to give. Right now, you get that additional $100 added on to your donation. You get entered in the drawing, but most of all, please do it for the programs that you rely on every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift is so powerful. It really makes a huge difference. Do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Right now, we're talking about record high Lake Michigan water levels. They averaged about 4 inches above the previous January high set in 1987. And scientists say, you know what? This is a big deal. It may be a preview of what unfolds this spring. Do you live near Lake Michigan? What have you observed about the lake this winter? Have you noticed higher water levels? Has it affected your property or the beach you go to? The conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, to join our conversation, 800-642-1234. Drew Groenwald is an associate professor in the School for Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. Drew, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Lake Michigan water levels reached this record high last month, first time in 30 years. How significant was this record?
It's significant for a lot of different reasons. One is that, as you mentioned, the record for the month of January was broken. And it's important to remember that water levels on all of the Great Lakes, including Lake Michigan, follow a strong seasonal cycle. January and February are usually the time of the year when water levels are at their seasonal low, and then they typically rise through the spring and reach a peak in June. So the fact that we're breaking a record for the month of January has really two important implications. One is that it's setting things up for above-average water level conditions for the next several months, but it also suggests that there's some broader things going on in terms of the hydrologic cycle and possible shifts in the magnitude and the timing of snowmelt across the region. So it's important for a lot of regions, for those of us studying water levels.
So it has been warmer and wetter than usual. How is that contributing to what you're seeing in these water levels?
So in general, there are two ways we can answer that question. One is that from a broad scale, if we look regionally or even on a continental scale, warmer air and in general a warmer atmosphere is holding more moisture and bringing more rain to the Great Lakes region. So the past decade was the wettest in recorded history for the United States, and much of that precipitation, or that much of that record, was due to precipitation in the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes region. So in general, more precipitation coming to this region. But then also warmer winters and even winters with more erratic temperatures tend to lead to different snowmelt patterns than we're used to. For example, in a typical historical winter, we might imagine that snow would accumulate throughout the winter and then melt primarily in February, March, and April. But with erratic temperatures throughout the winter, that snow can melt earlier, and even some of the precipitation might fall as rain rather than snow. And as a consequence, water levels might stay steady and even start rising earlier than they normally would as part of that annual cycle.
Well, as you look at these cycles, there's also less than a decade after Lake Michigan had a record low in January 2013. What do you see there? What can that broader pattern tell you?
Right. So very good point. And just to reiterate that, yeah, in January of 2013, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron hit all-time record lows. That came at the end of a 15-year period where Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron were all below average for a 15-year period. And what this tells us, and more generally what we've learned about that time period, is there were two things going on. The first thing that was happening that was really dominating water levels on the lakes was an increase in surface water temperature on the lakes and above average evaporation rates. So that was bringing water levels down. But interestingly, at the same time, precipitation across the region was continuously going up. So in general, from 1998 until that record in 2013, evaporation was winning what we're sort of referring to as this tug of war on water levels, with evaporation pulling one way and precipitation pulling the other way. But what's happened since 2013 is that precipitation has started winning that tug of war, in part because precipitation rates are continuing to go up, but also because evaporation slowed down, in part because of that cold, cold winter we had in 2014.
So as you look out the effects today on shoreline communities, what are you seeing? What are the effects?
Well, there are all types of effects, and unfortunately, many of them are negatives. And this goes back. Humans have had a hard time with hydrologic extremes throughout history. When there's a water abundance or water scarcity, there are a lot of problems. The problems around the Great Lakes coastline, in particular on Lake Michigan, have a lot to do with where coastal infrastructure and homes are placed along the shoreline, and also the structure of the shoreline. It can make a big difference whether or not shoreline is on a steep, sandy bluff or if it's on a rocky, gradually sloping shoreline. But all that said, a lot of the problems that we see right now have to do with flooding of homes, erosion of sand dunes, and unfortunately for homes and infrastructure that are placed near steep, sandy dunes or bluffs, some of these houses are actually falling in the water. And I'll make one final point. There are areas right now where municipal infrastructure, not just roads, but even wastewater treatment facilities are being affected by high water. And this is really a major problem. These types of infrastructure are what offer us our high quality of life. So it is becoming a serious problem.
Drew Groenewald is our guide as we learn about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what shoreline communities are experiencing. He teaches in the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what this means in the face of climate change. First, though, we get an update on WPR's winter member drive that is underway. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Good morning.
Good morning.
And as a WPR listener, you know that you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in to the morning show. And that is thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the morning show and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And we have a really special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So please go and make a donation and boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org, or you can pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
Love that momentum. You share every weekday morning with the morning show. Your morning wouldn't be the same without interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics, from pet cancer to Lake Michigan water levels. The Ideas Network is here. When your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or while you share breakfast in the kitchen with us or drive to work with us, we're by your side, your companion. Your support makes these morning conversations possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can make your support of Wisconsin Public Radio even easier when you become a sustainer. About half of our members right now are sustaining members. You can choose an amount that works for you. You can say maybe $10 or $20 a month, and you can have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is a powerful way to support the WPR programs you love.
We have a cozy new thank you gift for you this drive. It's the WPR Knit Hat. Show off your support through our long Wisconsin winters with this white and navy cap featuring gold stripes and a burgundy palm. It's made in Wisconsin, and it'll be your new cold weather essential. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. It is your support today, right now, of WPR that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We heard from Heather in West Bend who gave a donation and said, my husband's response to any useful knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio is, I bet you heard that on WPR. And after the millionth time hearing that, I figured, I better donate now. We ask you to make a contribution and we ask you to give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people think about maybe $10 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
So whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now whatever amount feels right to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 from a group of folks, including current members and 9XM Leadership Circle members, Kurt and Sue Culver. We want to thank them so much. They will give an additional $100 when you donate any amount. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And show your support for WPR and get that new hat, right? It's cold out. This navy knit cap is stylish. It's cozy. It's so much fun. It's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're talking about record high water levels on Lake Michigan and what the warmer and the wetter climate means for the Great Lakes region. Water levels of each of the Great Lakes peaked last summer or fall. They've been in decline since then, but lake levels remain really, really high. Do you live in Kenosha County? What was it like last month when the state of emergency was declared? What did you see? Do you live along Lake Michigan? What have you observed about the lake this winter? Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, this conversation, 800-642-1234. Drew Groenwald is our guide. He's an associate professor in the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability. Drew, earlier we were talking about the threats to critical infrastructure. In late January, Governor Evers declared that state of emergency in response to the flooding along Lake Michigan. How have Great Lake communities, how have they responded to the damage caused by high lake levels?
Well, there are several degrees of response, and unfortunately, I don't know if there's a systematic approach across the entire Great Lakes system. And as I answer this question, I would like listeners to know that I'm thinking about not just the important and beautiful shoreline along the state of Wisconsin, but we're thinking about the entire Great Lakes system all the way down through Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, and the other lakes. And so there are residential owners, commercial businesses that have been suffering through this high water condition all across the system. And so there are places where folks are putting up remedial measures. They're putting up sandbags and things like that on a very short-term time scale. On a slightly longer time scale, though, there are a lot of discussions about things like hardening shorelines or putting up more stone along shorelines to prevent erosion. And there are some problems associated with that, even though it's viewed sometimes as a common solution, in part because those solutions can lead to major changes in nearshore circulation patterns and also the movement of sand and sediment that form beaches and contribute to the shoreline. So I guess in summary, there are a couple of different types of short-term measures being taken, more of an emergency scale, and then also some near-term planning decisions which might need to be scrutinized from a long-term perspective.
Okay, so climate change here. How does climate change factor into what you're seeing in lake levels? 2019 was the second warmest year since records started being collected in the late 1800s.
Right. So one of the challenging things we have regarding the Great Lakes is kind of a complex narrative or a complex story. Interesting, a lot of people look at the marine coasts as sort of a baseline for talking about climate change, where the narrative is there's thermal expansion, there's melting of glaciers, there's sea level rise, water levels are going up. Well, in the Great Lakes, in general, the impacts of climate change are doing what we're calling exacerbating two competing forces or two opposite forces on water levels. One is the increase in precipitation, which naturally, when precipitation goes up, water levels go up. But then also, there are periods when evaporation is going up due to climate change. And so that would be pulling water levels in the opposite direction. So what we're looking for are consequences of these two competing forces. There are times when precipitation wins out, like right now, and water levels would be extremely high. But between 1998 and 2014, as we were talking about earlier, evaporation was winning out. So when we look at the future under a changing climate for the Great Lakes, the big question we have is how are these two competing forces of precipitation and evaporation going to interchange over time and change the water level dynamics that we're used to?
Drew, from your scientific perspective, what kind of significant policy changes may be needed to adjust for climate change?
I think the biggest policy change for the Great Lakes in terms of the conversation we're having right now has to do with coastal infrastructure and zoning requirements. If we need to have some very important discussions about how comfortable we are with water level oscillations along the shoreline and what risks we're willing to take in terms of allowing people to build homes and infrastructure along that shoreline. Not everybody has the resources to simply up and move a home or sell a home if there's flooding. And so I think that's one of the most important policy decisions we have to make right now about what we allow people to do in that shoreline and whether some of that shoreline needs to be set aside for other purposes other than just building homes and commercial infrastructure right along the shoreline. There are other important
And we have to stop there. Drew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Drew Groenewald is an associate professor in the School for Environment and Sustainability at University of Michigan. We'll talk more right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.